podcast is brought to you by DIA, the trusted global neutral forum for healthcare product development professionals. DIA, driving insights to action.
Hi, I'm Deborah Collier, President of Patient Advocates and Research, otherwise known as PAIR. And I'm being joined by Jan Nissen. And Jan is the Vice President of Patient Innovation at Merck & Company, Inc. And we are here today to talk about the DIA 2018 Global Annual Meeting. We're here in Boston. And Jan put together a diverse group of industry, patient, and regulator stakeholders. And you also spoke at a diamond session here at DIA earlier in the morning. And I believe the title was Global Perspectives on Patient Engagement.
That's correct.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So thank you for joining me.
Yes, of course.
And welcome. Looking forward to talking with you about that session and the various points that came up and things that people can take home and hopefully start using in their
yes.
own areas. So before we start, I guess we'll provide the audience with a brief overview of the session. And the session included information about global patient engagement. In Europe and North America, patient engagement in drug development is now expected, in most cases anyway, mm-hmm. Although it is not perfect. There is still a long way to go for that. And in this session that we're talking about today, you and your fellow panelists discussed what was happening in other parts of the world, right, globally, for patient engagement other than North America and Europe, and what's been initiated, what initiatives there are in three different regions primarily. Mm-hmm. And that it would include Asia as well as Latin America and then maybe a few other places as well, correct?
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
Great. So could you maybe in just a few words kind of give us an idea of what you feel the main message was from the session?
Yes, I think it was a really interesting session because what I think it showed and the main message that I took away was that the states of patient engagement is that they're in various states around the world, right? And in some cases, Europe and the U.S. maybe being a little bit further advanced in terms of the extent to which patient engagement is being utilized and is being recognized by regulators, and maybe in a different place of evolution, maybe in Asia and Latin America. But it seems that it's really changing when you see that even in Japan, the PFMD, in fact, is now beginning to bring in patient perspectives in Japan.
Okay.
For example. So I think regulators are beginning to help shape the importance of patient engagement similar to what had happened in the U.S. and in Europe.
Okay.
So it's great to see that.
Good. And I think we also found out in parts of Asia and also Latin America, some of the regulatory agencies or government agencies are also trying to help prepare patient advocates or patient representatives for this role. Is that right?
Yes, they are. And that's really, really important that the patient understands to tell their story, right? But then to also talk about the larger role, right?
Right.
Of being able to talk about the groups of patients that this would help and that the access and reimbursement to the medications to help this large group of patients is so important.
Okay.
And I think we're also seeing that there are advocacy groups from other countries and other parts of the world that have capabilities, right, that are a little bit more advanced, that are now coming to other parts of the world and other
right.
countries, right, to help them set up and understand how you build an advocacy organization.
Right. In fact, some of the PAIR members have been doing that as well.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Terrific.
So that's fun. So I wonder if there were any points that you felt were important to bring out of things that might be hampering efforts, and then we can talk about things that may be promoting efforts as well.
Right. So hampering efforts, I would say that for industry, and I guess I represent industry, industry has been pretty much focused on the learned intermediary, the HCP, right? And so it's a fairly new development, if you will, to take processes and operating models around the patient. And so I think we're a little bit early in our evolution of including the patient to the degree that we need to. And so I think our researchers need to understand the importance of bringing in the patient perspective. And so that's still, I would say, evolving, quite honestly. So I think that's one that's sort of hampering. But I think in terms of the areas and opportunities that are helping engagement, certainly we talked about the regulators already, but if you look at other healthcare institutions, right, they are really very focused on patient engagement, patient experience, right? So that, I think, in a sense, we're all kind of working together to create the era of the patient.
Okay. There seem to be a lot of things that need to change within the industry, and of course, we don't have time to talk about all of those. But it's a mindset change too, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Because even if we use terms like patient-centric or patient engagement, we have to actually change the way business has been done in the past to really make that real. So I don't know if there were any things that came out in the session, in the discussion period, in those types of areas.
Well, one of the big areas of discussion in the session was the fact that the patient-provider relationship has to evolve.
Right.
And in many, it seemed universal around the world that it's still a very deferential position and relationship, if you will, where the provider thinks they understand what the patient needs and very often is not taking the time to understand. We talked a lot about the evolution of medical school curriculum.
Yes.
That really needs to involve a greater empathy and understanding of the patient, the caregiver, to really understand the patient's whole environment that impacts their health care.
Right. Along with communication skills, because there's such a short period of time in a very crisis kind of situation that people have to deal with illness or medical conditions, and being able to understand that, but also communicate clearly and well and empathetically is something that I think could be additional training that doctors and medical providers could get. And I think that there's a role that we could play together in helping create that type of material with companies, patient groups, and providers as well.
Absolutely. So. And then always including the sort of health literacy, you know, the importance
yes.
of that. I can remember hearing a statistic that suggested, I guess, a study that had been done with patients when first diagnosed with lung cancer, that their literacy level, right, you know, gets down to about a second grade level because
right.
of the impact of that message just being given to them. So certainly understanding the importance, as you said, of communication, speaking at the right literacy level, terminology, and also an understanding of the right times to communicate.
Okay. Yes, and it seems that, you know, at that time, it doesn't matter how many degrees you have at the end of your name either. Your body's putting you physiologically through shock, and it's very difficult to comprehend what's going on at the time.
Okay.
So there are, and there are, there is research and evidence out there about what to do for communication skills and on all of those types
yes.
of things. Okay. Well, would you say that there are any regions that are closer to implementing patient engagement activities or?
So in Europe, the European Medicines Association, the regulator there, has really been incorporating patient input in their drug development,
right.
you know, all along the way. Whereas in the U.S., the patient-focused drug development is really just kind of underway now. In fact, just last week, we received the first guidance about that. And so I'd say that those two areas of the world are probably a little bit ahead. And then some of the regulators coming on board, we talked at the meeting yesterday about Korea and Japan and how those regulators are beginning to bring in patient input
okay.
as well. So I think it seems to all be converging around everyone seeing the importance of the patient in the R&D process.
Right. And I know FDA has had different programs at different times, starting like from 1990 or maybe even in the 80s for AIDS. But you're right, it hasn't been a full initiative until more recently. And there is an opportunity at least through part of July, I'm not exactly sure what the date is, for everyone to get public comments into the draft guidance that is out there. So that would be a really important thing to do.
Absolutely.
At this point. Is there anything else that you'd like to share with us, Jan?
Yeah, so I think the other area that might require some additional, I would say, research is that when we talk about patient engagement, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, it is all about behavior change.
Absolutely.
Right? And so how do we as an industry and a group of stakeholders working with patients and advocacy groups begin to really understand the behavioral science behind engagement? And I also think that from our company's perspective, that if we were able to understand the science behind behavior change, that that would be a very good complement to the science we put into the clinical aspects of our products.
Great. Yes, as well as the science and evidence that's there on health literacy and communication
yes.
skills and all of those types of things. And I think one of the things that could be very important as well, the behavioral science, certainly within organizations, there's organizational development behaviors as
yes.
well that
good point.
That need to be, you know, mirrored and, you know, from leadership on down.
Yes.
So,
yeah, great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you very much. Yeah,
thank you
it's
very
great
much.
To meet you.
It was so nice talking to you today.
To learn more about this topic, visit us online at diaglobal.org.